Hello, and welcome everyone, welcome to another episode of Mr. Speaker Speak. You know, it's the show that stimulates the mind, it's informative, but guess what, it's also where real conversations lead, they can lead to real change. And I just want to welcome everyone. It's the first show of the new year. I want to say Happy New Year to everyone. And today we're going to talk about a topic that's pretty much center of every goal, every resolution, and every new beginning. It's energy, not hype, not discipline, but the actual physical and emotional energy that keeps you moving when motivation fades. Oh, most people, they typically enter a new year with good intentions, and we know what happens to good intentions. You know, by February, the momentum's gone, and our guest says the problem isn't willpower, it's energy balance. And she has spent more than 20 years helping people restore that balance in a way that lasts. Danielle Pasco is a functional nutritionist, author, chronic illness coach, and the creator of Soul Hacker. Her work blends clinical experience with healing principles of Tai Chi and some other things. And, you know, she's helped countless people rebuild stamina, clarity, and inner steadiness through a model that brings science and lived experience together in a powerful way. And so we're going to talk about that in New Year's resolutions and a whole lot of other things today. And hopefully you'll launch into 2026 and become the best you possible. Be that person that you were created to be. You know, like always here on Mr. Speaker Speaks, we open up with a prayer and inspirational passage of scripture, and then we move into our show for today. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for all that you have given to us and all that you blessed us with. God, we just thank you for the opportunity to share information that can help people become better and have better and stronger lives. And God, today I just ask for your presence to be here during this time that we talk about resolutions, health, and energy, and setting goals and things of that nature. Open up the ears of the listener so that they can pick up something that will help to improve their lives and to make them better. And I also pray a special blessing for my guest, Ms. Pasco. God, help her in all that she does and all that she continues to do, and help people open up doors that no man can close, and close those doors that no man can open that need to be closed. And we will give you all the praise and honor and glory that's due your name. In your son Jesus' name, amen. Our inspirational passage of scripture today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 22. And it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." A broken spirit. But, you know, if you have a merry heart, a little bit of laughter, it goes a long way. I mean, I'd rather laugh than take some pills every now and again. But today, we're going to have a great show. I'll give a little bit more. Danielle brings more than 20 years of experience working at the top New York City's wellness world. She's worked alongside respected physicians, designed customized supplement programs, consulted for spas and high-end clinics, and supported thousands of clients on their healing journey. She is a functional nutritionist, chronic illness coach, and best-selling author, and the founder of Soul Hacker. Want to say, Danielle, welcome to Mr. Speaker Speaks.
Thank you so much, and I'm touched by the way that you opened. That was really beautiful.
Oh, thank you so very much. That's the way I've always done it, even when I started in radio back in the early 2000s. And so we want to start off with this. You know, for my listening audience meeting you for the very first time, who are you at the core and what drives your work in wellness?
At the core, I feel like I'm someone who has had many experiences in my life that has brought me to this place where I feel like I'm supposed to help others on their healing journey when they feel like they are in a place that they don't see any hope, they don't think that they can get better, and they feel stuck in their situation, whether it's a major situation or whether it's just they're not really feeling the best that they can. And I really like to help them along their journey and through my own personal struggles, not only as a practitioner, but also as the patient. I think sometimes people who have lived experience can communicate with more empathy to others because they understand their struggle.
Was there, I mean, really looking at your life, was there a defining moment when you realized your approach to health at that time had to change?
Yes. I was always very healthy. And then when I was 30 years old, I was a yoga instructor. I was a nutritionist. I was working in a top clinic in New York City. And I was a vegan. I was doing all the right things and I got cancer. So it did make me question things. It's not only about the habits. I had that down. I had the healthy stuff down. It was the mindset and the stress. And you spoke about in the beginning when you said your beautiful prayer about joy, right? And I think that's something that's so missing. You can do all the external work in the world, but if you're not living in a place of joy, if you don't have happiness, then it's very hard to experience optimal health, the best quality life you can have. That's such an important part.
So what beliefs about health did you have to unlearn?
I had to learn that it's not just in the doing, but also in your mindset to not let yourself get so stressed over small things. Also, I was very forceful in the way of my approach to being healthy. I was very rigid in my diet. I exercised like a maniac, to be honest. I was very much the no pain, no gain mentality. I had a mother that died very young. So for me, she was 38 when she died. So I thought if I could outsmart the system, if I just go ahead and do everything perfectly. And unfortunately, more is not always better. And that's what I try to teach to people. We really have to learn to have some balance in our lives. And it has to be a combination of joy. I think spirituality is a big piece. Having good connection in your life, good relationships, and then also practices that uplift you and make you feel good, whether that's good nutrition, how you fuel yourself, the supplements you might take, the movements you do. Do something that you love professionally. There's so many components to having a healthy life. So I think I've really tried my best to adopt those things and share those things with others.
Let's talk about something right now that most people are facing at this point in time. It's a new year. I mean, we're in what, day seven. New Year's goals, motivation. Why do they fade so fast and tend to fail so many times?
Yes, this is so common. And I don't think it's even that people aren't motivated. I think their expectation is not realistic. And a lot of times they don't have the energetic capacity to do the things that they want to do. So if their goal is to work out every single day of the week and take on this new regimen, and then on top of that, they want to start the strict diet and they want to do all of this, and they're like, okay, January 1st, I'm ready to go. I think it's very hard to maintain. You have to start off slowly and build yourself up to eventually be able to do these things.
You say the problem isn't willpower, it's energy. What do you really mean by that?
So I think that a lot of people are just tired, whether it's emotionally tired, physically tired, they're working so hard, they're burnt out, they're drained. A lot of people are just drained. When I talk to them, I'm like, how you doing? They're like, I'm tired, you know? And to have that kind of energy and then think that you can you have a family too on top of that, you know, you have to figure out where you're going to spend your time. So if you're going to go to the gym and try to pump out all that energy when you have all these other obligations, work, family, personal, it's very hard to do. And I think that's where we just don't have enough energetic capacity if you don't take on good habits.
And so how does one know if you know, how can I tell if my energy is low and if that low energy is really affecting and ultimately sabotaging my goals?
Well, the most obvious one is if you're feeling tired all the time, that's an obvious energy drain, but also brain fog, feeling like you're not incentivized to eat the right things because you have cravings, just really feeling maybe a lack of excitement in your life. And that's just that those are all things that are low energy. It's like a low vibration. And the goal is to really try to raise that.
So here's a two-part question. One, you know, what are some ways that I can boost my energy? But also, what happens to me biologically or physically if I keep pushing through exhaustion?
Yeah. So ways to boost your energy. First, making sure you're staying hydrated. I think a lot of people know that, but they don't do it. Also, really fueling yourself with good healthy foods. That's a very important part. But also like simple practices to get your energy going. First thing in the morning, if you can, a lot of people even work from home, they don't even go outside. And that's not natural biologically for us. So we need to go outside, get some sunlight in our eyes, maybe walk around a little bit, just get circulation going. And then stretching is really good. And finding practices that can start to lift you up. For me, I love, some people love yoga. I love Tai Chi. I love Qigong. These are ancient Chinese practices, and they just make me feel really well. So, you know, there's a lot of components, but I think just taking on some of these habits really help.
Let's talk about Tai Chi for a moment. Yes. I really want to know what is it and how does it really work? And here's why. You know, on these social media platforms now, they've got all these things popping up. Oh, you don't have to do exercise. Just do Tai Chi and you can get muscles. And
I've seen that.
It's all. I mean, is that really true?
So I think that, I mean, Tai Chi is an amazing practice. I think it's still good to do other things like cardio and get that in. But people who practice, who are martial artists and just do Tai Chi, they're actually in very good health. But it really is so good for stress. It's so good for flexibility, circulation, and it moves the qi, which is energy throughout your body. We have a lot of stuck energy, stagnation. If you're a person, let's say, who gets maybe headaches a lot, or maybe digestive issues, or you're overthinking all the time, or even women of a certain age who maybe get hot flashes, it's showing that their energy, their circulation's not very good. They have too much heat up here, and they need to bring this heat and this energy, this qi, down. So if they're doing practices like Tai Chi, can actually help a lot of health issues. It also helps to calm the nervous system, put us more in a parasympathetic state, which is the rest and digest. And that's going to help us from being susceptible to chronic illnesses.
So you mentioned the nervous system. How do we know if it's overloaded or drained? You talk about, you know, headaches was a side effect of some things, but how does someone know if their nervous system is overloaded?
If you're feeling anxious, which a lot of people are, if you just feel like everything is just really stressed and you can't even take on all the responsibilities that you have to, feeling a sense of overwhelm, burden, major anxiety. It's something that most people have to nurture. I don't know a lot of people that have very regulated nervous systems. Well, not at least when I'm in New York City, maybe more in Florida, but even so, people definitely have that issue.
You know, we talk about New Year's resolutions and people wanting to see results and see results quickly. But when it comes to this work-life balance and some of these practices that you talked about with Tai Chi and boosting your energy, how long do you need to do some of these things before you can see results? It's kind of like, you know, we put on weight over a period of years and we want to go to the gym and see 5 pounds in 1 week dissipate.
Well, I can tell you that for me personally, it actually happened pretty rapidly. I was dealing with a very bad issue after having COVID. I developed long COVID and I had neurological symptoms, major fatigue, major issues with vertigo. And that really started to shift the way I was feeling within, I would say, about 2 months' time. And I was really struggling. And doing these practices really helped me to regain my stability. I started getting a lot of my energy back. And it was not like it was like I was spending all this time practicing. I mean, I was doing short micro practices a few days a week, but I was doing it outside in nature. So getting in that grounding principle where you're connecting with the earth, I was doing it barefoot on the grass. And it's unbelievable how much it helped me. So I think within a short period of time, you can start to feel a difference. If you have health symptoms, maybe even sooner, but just things like fatigue, you might start feeling a difference within a week or two, truly.
And let's talk about, can you go into more specific exercises? I know we generally talked about them. Can you list maybe three to five different exercises that someone can do to help them?
So going outside and grounding, what I had just mentioned before, is when you're, if people don't know what grounding is, it's connecting to the ground or the earth barefoot. So you're not wearing shoes and you're actually pulling up earth energy. So you can do practices like stretching, deep breathing. I do a lot of body tapping, which is part of Qigong, which is like tapping here, tapping, 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 this kind of stuff wakes everything up, and that can give you a lot of energy. Stretching in general is really good. Yoga is really good. And then, walking's excellent. If you can get on your bike, like all of these type of things. But if you can do it outside, I know it's cold if you're in northern states. But there is something to say about being in nature. It really makes a difference if you can. I mean, the gym is good, but being outside is where it's at.
So, you talk about nutrition. Are there specific supplements that you can take to help support and boost your energy?
Definitely. So I look at everything energetically. When I talk about the Tai Chi, the Qigong, even my nutrition, I like to eat foods that have a higher vibration. And the same thing goes for even supplements. So I tend to be more connected to herbs because herbs are also cultivated in nature. They're part of, I feel very connected to a lot of this ancient wisdom. And a lot of traditions have used herbs that have energetic properties. And there's also an emerging field right now, since I'm a functional nutritionist, I do a lot of research, and it's called quantum Ayurveda. So Ayurvedic supplements are ancient Indian herbs. And what's unique about this is following the whole idea of energy is that these herbs don't only have the botanical, they actually are what's called tuned with an energetic frequency. And they become more bioavailable to the body because of the energy that they're tuned with. This is a very new technology by Green Space Herbs. So it's something that we're just learning about now, and I think it's going to be the way of the future.
Being a nutritionist, what can you say to me and my listening audience about how do we go about finding out what foods are good for us or best for us and what diet we should be on?
So I think diet is very individual. There's so many things out there. You see, some people really love carnivore, or they love paleo, or they're doing a vegetarian diet. It really goes by how you feel. But I would say the other thing is to look at your lab work. So that sort of gives you some signals of what kind of diet you should be following. So for instance, if obviously if you are someone that falls into the category where you have a lot of cardiovascular markers, then you want to avoid more meat. If you're someone that has maybe neurological issues, you may do better with a more a diet that actually tends to have more fat, more animal protein. So it kind of depends. But then also you can go by what you feel intuitively. So like there's something called eating for your blood type, and Have you ever heard of this before?
No, because I was going to, as you were talking, I was thinking of another question, and you can probably go ahead and incorporate this. It's like you talk about lab work. Is there a specific blood panel that you should request your doctor to say, you know, go down and take these specific tests to find out your specific markers?
Well, it is helpful to know, because let's say you have high blood sugar, and so your glucose is high or your hemoglobin A1C is high. Then at that point, let's say you're a vegan, but now you're eating a very carb heavy diet that may not be best for you. So, or there's definitely an importance in knowing your lab work. Also, let's say you are a vegan and you have thyroid issues, doing a lot of soy products and things like that may be problematic. So knowing these types of diets and cross-referencing them with your lab work can really be helpful, but sometimes your doctor may not even know the diet to recommend. So it's good to work with a nutritionist if you're dealing with some kind of health issue.
So when it comes to supplements, what type of mistakes do people normally make?
So I think with supplements, a lot of times people, they follow trends, meaning they hear like, I'm not going to name something specifically, but they hear about something on social media or they think it's the right thing and they take it, but they don't know if it's something that's going to be good for their body, and or they take too many at one time. So I say when you supplement, do it slowly and take one supplement at a time and see how your body responds. Because if you're taking handfuls, then you don't know what is working and what isn't. The other part about supplements that I'd like to mention is that sometimes they can be very hard on the liver, taking too many supplements, and also hard on your digestion. And that's also why I like the idea of new energetically tuned supplements, Quantum Ayurveda, because you can take less of the supplement, and because it has energetic frequency, it ends up not being so rough on a sensitive nervous system. A lot of people can't handle it. So I think go very slow when you're starting with supplements, for sure.
You keep mentioning this Ayurveda, Quantum Ayurveda. Talk to us a little bit more about it. And here's your website on the screen here.
So Quantum Ayurveda is a technology that takes Ayurvedic herbs, which are herbs that are from India, and they're used for their properties. A lot of them can be what's called adaptogenic. So they adapt to what your body needs. For example, ashwagandha is an adaptogenic herb that works very well for the nervous system. And so if someone's stressed, that's usually a good herb for them to take. Also, it can help with sleep. It can help to relax you. But the way that Quantum Ayurveda works is it uses a process called spectroscopy, which helps to tune these herbs. What I mean by tuning, do you know anything about quantum physics?
I've heard of it. I took chemistry and I took physics in high school. Well,
without going too deep, quantum physics is also everything to do with energy. So Quantum Ayurveda is actually tuning these herbs with an energetic frequency. So you can take, let's say, the herb ashwagandha, a lower dose, but you're actually getting the frequency of the energy. So you can take less, but also have more of the actual, it's more bioavailable. And that's really good for people who don't like to take too many supplements or don't like to take high doses. So they're a leader in this space right now. There's no one else doing this.
If I understand it, it's kind of like, you know, the new LED lights, they use less energy, but you get more brighter light. So
is that... Okay, that's a great analogy. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So it's take
precision, but less load, right?
Less load.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, okay. So I know you've dealt with trauma and in your life and dealing with things. You said healing is an optimization. It's reconnection. What does reconnection look like, and what does that really mean?
I think when I said that, I was really referring to reconnecting to your soul. I call my brand Soul Hacker, because there's a whole movement right now towards what's called biohacking. And are you familiar with biohacking?
No, tell us a little bit more about that.
So biohacking is a very popular practice now that many people are following. It's hacking your biology. And it's for people who want to live longer, to over 100 years old, and they do things like jumping in a cold plunge or doing an infrared sauna or using red lights. You were talking about the LED lights, or intermittent fasting, or doing these hacks to upgrade your biology. And it makes sense on a certain level, and I like it. But at the same time, when you're dealing with health, even though it seems like we can just quantify everything through doing these external practices, our health is mind, body, spirit. So we have to look at the energetics and also our connection. Well, for you, it may be connection to your creator. For me, that's also a big part of it, my connection to God, but also just connection to the people around us, the energy around us, and being cognizant of that and really getting in touch with the soul. So I feel like it's really returning to yourself and not only looking for the next shiny object, but how can we really reconnect to who we are, what our soul is? And I think that's something that is just, it's important, because that's the biggest question, you know, like who are we? And that's, we want to be the best version of ourselves, but first we have to really know ourselves.
Most definitely. And let's talk about, how do you help individuals do that? I mean, I know you're a nutritionist, but here on your website at soulhacker.com, there are a lot of different things going on. How do you help people become the best that they can become?
So I really try to speak to them from a place of empathy, because a lot of people that I'm working with, they are dealing with struggles and health issues that maybe they've been to a dozen doctors and they're starting to feel hopeless. Maybe they're dealing with something that's complex and not very, or they feel it's not very treatable. And many times it's related to, it's not to say that it's psychosomatic, but if you have a very fragile nervous system and you're very stressed out and your quality of your relationships are not good and you're not moving in the right way and you're just not happy, it's very hard to heal. So I don't just say to somebody, you need to follow this diet. I really try to help them in terms of mentally, spiritually, energetically, trying to get in touch with things that will help to relax them and bring them more into a more parasympathetic mode, which is the mode of relaxation and calm, because we're in such a stressed world. And that's, you know, I try to provide hope to people by teaching them how to do these practices even long after they've stopped working with me. Some people stay with me, but for those who have moved on, I really like to share things that they can really implement in everyday life.
So how does one go about obtaining a consultation with you?
They could go through my website. Typically, that's where they find me. I was working in a clinic for a very long time in New York. And now that I'm not bi-coastal, but how do you say when you live in Miami and you're in New York City, you're back and forth. So now I work a lot remotely. So yeah, someone can contact me through my website.
Okay. So let's talk about this, grief, stress, and unprocessed trauma.
Yes.
How do they show up in the body?
If those things are not dealt with, you could definitely be setting yourself up for it manifesting physically. And that doesn't happen to every single person, but how I feel is the body, there's a book that's called The Body Keeps Score, right? That's probably the best way to say it. We can only hold things in for so long and not express ourselves and not have an outlet and not have a release, that eventually it's going to catch up with us, whether it's, God forbid, a heart attack or even something, chronic fatigue, or having just exhaustion, insomnia. I mean, there's so many things that can go on, and they can be, thankfully, they can start to be remedied or at least improved through doing these practices. I've seen remarkable shifts, and it's really good to know that healing is possible, and people just have to start with the mindset that it actually can happen.
For that individual listening right now that in some shape, form, or fashion feels overwhelmed. What can they do? How can they begin?
Well, if they're feeling overwhelmed, just even getting into the breath, I mean, really doing deep breathing is something that we need to find time to calm ourselves. So even if it's taking a few moments and just disconnecting and just saying, I need time for me, and really getting into that breathing practice. Then also, if you can learn how to start doing meditation or the practices like I talked about, like Tai Chi or Qigong, yoga is really terrific too. But just whatever is meditative to you. But you know what? With saying all of that, some people, that is not their thing. And for them, meditation looks like going for a run, and that's extremely meditative, and or doing something that really makes you happy. So finding joy, finding peace, finding any kind of activity that can give you some of these types of emotions, I think is really important. But disconnecting from just the constant daily routine that's stressing you out. We have to find time for ourselves.
And why is that so challenging today to find time for yourself? We often hear the phrase, you know, when we're flying on planes, you know, put your mask on first before you help someone else or put it on the child. But yeah, in real life, that practice is very hard to do.
Yeah.
We look at everybody else and we're running here, and we live in this society where it's all about instant, not only instant gratification, but we've built this false sense of urgency that everything is, you got to answer now, from text messages now to Teams. And, you know, even at work, I have email, I have Teams. It's like, how many ways do you want to contact me?
Our bodies feel like a notification center. It's like, I mean, I have people, it's like they can't get me on text, then they ping me on Instagram. Then it's like, oh, you know, Facebook message. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I didn't answer you 10 minutes ago. I'm still doing something right now. Like, it can wait. And it used to be that someone would just call us on the phone and they would leave us a message and we would get back to them hopefully within 24 hours. And that was it. There wasn't like this follow-up, and now you feel like you have to follow up with them. And it becomes overwhelming. It feels like your head is spinning. And I think a lot of people really get into this, and a lot of it is boundary setting and just not like saying, okay, I get it. I know people want things fast, but I'm not a machine. I'm a human being and I need to take care of myself too. And I have to practice it also. I'm guilty of it. I feel like, oh no, I have to read it. Sometimes you have to just chill.
Because, I mean, if we don't take care of ourselves, we're no good to anybody else. But it is just so hard and so challenging. You know, with everything that I do, I find myself now sometimes it's just like I just turn my phone off. I just turn it off and just put it to the side. And, you know.
Yeah, it's a beautiful practice having this like, you know, like a digital detox. Everyone should just take a day, put their phone away, just turn it off. Just don't, like, really. Like, that would really, even if it's on the weekend when you're not busy, it's so good for our mental health.
Yeah. And speaking of mental health, I mean, so much anxiety is on the rise. You know, even with young adults and college kids are experiencing all of this. How can we just get rid of some of this unnecessary, I want to say pressure, but I'm just going to say stuff. I mean, declutter. I mean, I think because even now I was cleaning out my garage and I'm looking at stuff and I found old papers and stuff that I've been holding on to and they're like 20 years old and I really don't need them. I mean, what can we do just to get rid of stuff in our lives?
Well, that's a great thing. If you can realize that you have all these things that you need to get rid of, doing a cleaning of house physically and emotionally, right? So all these things that don't serve us anymore, to just, I mean, it's a new year and it's a good time to really start refreshing and getting rid of things that we don't need. And we have to look at everything one by one and see even our relationships in our life. Are these really good for us? Do we need to hold on to this? Even, you know, just the stress of people who are even in jobs that they feel are unfulfilling, and maybe they have a calling to do something else. I mean, life is short, so we need to find things that bring us more joy. We have so much stress in the world that it's like, if we can find happiness somewhere, that's what we should really strive for. And going back to the social media thing, yeah, it's so overwhelming. I mean, the news is just, it feels like, you know, the world is so chaotic right now that the more we're plugged in and connected to it, we're going to lose it. So it's definitely just good to take those breaks. And I really think that helps us. And finding time for yourself. I mean, today, when I work and I have a Tai Chi teacher that I practice with once or twice a week. And I took off, I drove an hour and a half to see him. And then I spent a few hours in the park, and we were just doing our practice in nature. And I didn't look at my phone, I think, for 6 hours. And I just, you know, not everyone can do that when they're working, but I had the ability today. And it was so good. And then, yes, I came back to a bunch of texts and emails, but I was like, wow, that break felt amazing. So we need to find ways that we can break. Maybe it's playing golf, maybe it's doing something else, but just getting off your phone, connecting with your friends, being in nature, and just finding, you know, you time.
And, you know, we talk about what things I can take, about my diet, but how important is sleep in the midst of all of this?
Sleep is so important. It's so underrated. I think sleep is maybe like the number one thing that we have to pay attention to, because when we sleep, we're helping to clear all the debris in our brain, our lymphatic system. We're building growth hormone. We're regenerating our cells. We're healing. And when we wake up tired and we don't sleep well, that's when the motivation falls apart, because we don't have energy. We don't feel like eating the right things because we have cravings. We don't feel like exercising. We're not productive at work. Our brain capacity is not good. I mean, sleep is everything. Our mood's bad. Our partner's not happy with us because we're cranky. So definitely we need sleep.
So how do I go about getting more sleep?
So definitely there are practices that you can do. A lot of people don't know this, but Wi-Fi, with all these things that we are connected to, when we talk about energy, it's like dirty energy that goes, we can't really avoid it, especially if you're in an apartment building with all these people next to you. But if you're using Wi-Fi all day long, which we have to do for work, when you're done, try to get off your electronics. All that blue light is not good for you. So just make a time, stop checking your emails, stop looking at screens. And when you're ready to go to sleep, if you can actually disconnect your Wi-Fi modem. I forget how to say it.
It's a modem.
Modem, yes. Disconnecting that is really important, because that can actually stop all the Wi-Fi going through your apartment and your home. And that affects your brain. When you have the Wi-Fi, it can actually affect your brain and your sleep. So if you really want a good night's sleep, shut off all your electronics and turn off your Wi-Fi. And if you're one of those people that has to watch television, probably wear blue light glasses, because that also helps you, because you don't want blue light in your eyes prior to sleep. So just wearing those glasses can make a difference too.
When it comes to you and during your day, what type of small reset rituals do you personally rely on?
For me, I have to ground. I will be working with clients or doing a lot of stuff on the computer. And then I'm lucky enough and fortunate during the winter, I'm in Miami and I'm near the beach. So I take off and go to the beach and I ground.
South Beach.
Far from South Beach. It's pretty great. So I ground, I literally take off my shoes and I start doing movement. And when I'm in New York City, I have a park behind me that actually faces the water, the Hudson River. It's really beautiful. It's like, it doesn't feel like you're in New York. So again, I go outside, I take off my shoes, even in the winter, believe it or not, when I'm up there working in the winter. I'm the crazy lady that's by a tree that has my shoes off, and I'm doing some exercise just to get some circulation going and just to connect with the earth energy. It definitely makes a difference, and it clears your head like in such an unbelievable way.
If I only have 5 minutes, what can I do first? And what should I do first?
So if you have 5 minutes, I would say do some, if you can't get out, do some stretching. I do Qigong exercises, so I do some body tapping, or I do what's called chi circulation. I have some videos that are free on my website that'll show you how to do these type of movements, and that's something that definitely helps. So just like I mentioned, doing the tapping or the moving or the just this type of stuff, or breathing deeply, just getting up, even like shaking, just shaking it out. We just need to change our state, right? So like if we're sitting all day, just get up, just shake, just move. But you have to like do things to get out of that rut.
Wow. So if listeners can only remember one thing today that we've talked about, and I can't believe time has gone by and we've been almost 45 minutes, they can only remember one truth from today that could help them improve their lives. What would you say it should be?
Knowing that every day is a new day, and even if you are not in the place where you want to be with your health, there's still, you could wake up tomorrow morning and you can start to take on the right habits. You can change everything. It's really up to your mental state to have that consciousness to believe that you can change, and you just need to start. So I encourage everyone to take on a new habit and really try to boost their energy the best that they can starting this new year. It's going to make a big difference.
And once they get to your website, soulhacker.com, what should they look for? What should they, you talked about videos, you have media. Where should they go?
So I talk about nutrition in my blog there. Also, the videos they can take a look at, which are Tai Chi and Qigong. Oh, that's my speaking page. But if you go back to the Tai Chi and Qigong, yes, there's videos there that you can do. And also, I talked also about herbs and quantum Ayurveda, and I have a whole section about there with green space herbs. If you scroll all the way to the right, and we talk about how quantum Ayurveda uses energy as well in its herbs. So it's very interesting.
All right. And so before we close, I'm going to give you the last word, whatever is on your heart, your mind, anything you want to share, what's next for you, what's on the horizon, you have the last word.
Oh, my last word, I guess, just for this year, is I really want to spread a message of healing, and that's really my focus. I just want to help people to get into a better state of mind, believe that healing is possible, and I just want to serve. I really don't have any one specific thing. It's just really that I want to do my work this year, and I feel like I want to help people in a big way.
That is extremely, extremely powerful.
Thank
You
you.
know, this has truly been eye-opening. Want you to understand that you should take your time. Slow down, recharge, choose habits that create energy instead of draining it. I mean, you know, those energy drainers sometimes it's like people. You know, people are just like leeches sometimes. They suck all the energy in life. But change. So, you know, to learn more about Danielle, please visit her website, soulhacker.com, explore her books, and take a look at a lot of her programs. So visit her online, follow her. She's on all the social media platforms. And so I just want to say thank you, Danielle, for being a wonderful and exciting and informative guest here
Thank you.
on Mr. Speaker Speaks.
Thank you.
So, for my listening audience, please be sure to check me out on the internet at vincenttedwards.com. You can find all the information you want to know about me. But remember, you know, life is all about purpose. And the question always becomes, do you know yours? Because living life without purpose can be deadly. So remember, in all that you do, be magnificent. And until next time, as I always say, be good, be blessed. But most of all, be like Danielle. Be a blessing to someone. Be blessed, everybody. Take care.